Thank you, Bill, so very much. Good to be here again this morning and have the opportunity of turning again to the good word of our great God. We've been mentioning briefly at the outset of our morning study some of the details relative to Sam and Bible Hour. India is the world's second largest country. Family Bible Hour beams four languages into that country each week. We go in Bengali, in English, in Hindi, and in Telugu. And we thank the Lord for these opportunities. As I've mentioned, this is the second largest country in the world, China being the largest. You might wonder just how much it costs to take the gospel into that great land with its many, many millions. Well, we broadcast for 15 minutes, and the total cost for the four languages is $355. That includes the cost of production of the program and also the airtime. So we thank the Lord that for that relatively small amount of money, we are able to reach millions. But thinking of India this morning, I thought of a letter we received some time ago. During that program, the message portion of the program, we had recently begun broadcasting in the Vancouver area. And as I had been saved in Vancouver, I felt led of the Lord to tell how God had saved me and what Christ meant to me. So I gave my testimony on the broadcast, and some weeks later, we received a letter, and it said, "I just want you to know that out here in India," and I should mention that the broadcast in Indian time was 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and the writer of the letter had dated the letter of the Tuesday night, and then had put 8 p.m., so as soon as the program had ended, the writer had written to say, "I just want you to know that out here in India, there is a listener with a very penetrating feeling of nostalgia. Tonight you mentioned Vancouver and a number of people that I know. And you mentioned the Buds and you mentioned Robert McClurkin and a number of other things. I just want you to know how much I am with you in thought and spirit." And the letter was signed Emma Horton. And many of you know, of course, that Emma has, for a number of years, been involved in the work at Clarence High School, and the Lord has blessed her there. So again, we thank the Lord that He is using the broadcast not only to reach the lost, but as well to encourage those who know and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're back in the epistle of Paul to Philemon. Let's take a look again at this very precious chapter that we've been sharing, this entire epistle, and trust the Lord will bless it to us this morning. Let's read verse 8 again and down through 21, I guess. "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowel, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Father, please bless thy word. Please honor thyself and thy son, as this morning again we turn to the sacred page to learn of thyself and thy ways. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been looking in our study of this very short and beautiful epistle of Paul to Philemon, and we looked initially at the character of Philemon, and we, I hope, learned a few things about him. While yesterday we began looking at the compassion of the great Apostle Paul, and it's really in this section that his compassion comes through with such strength and vitality. We noted as Paul began to speak to Philemon and encourage him to receive Onesimus, this runaway slave who had accepted Christ as his Savior. He did so by appealing to Philemon's love, and he said, for love's sake, you whose name means affectionate, you receive Onesimus. Then in verse 9, Paul uses another appeal. Not only for love's sake, but he appeals to Philemon as Paul the age. Paul, the old man of God, the old soldier, the one who had felt the fury and the heat of battle. The battle was almost over. And he appeals on behalf of this new recruit, and he says, Philemon, receive him. Receive him. Paul had a desire to see Philemon receive Onesimus. He made an appeal, a strong appeal, an emotional appeal. Paul had the joy of seeing this man reached for Christ. And it proves to me, beloved, that soul winning knows no limits or retirement. Anyone of any age can be used of God to witness for Christ, to speak for Him, to show forth love, the love of Christ in a godly fashion in the life. And so Paul, although he was aged, had been used to reach the younger man for the Savior. May not be in a prison cell that the Lord has called you and me to witness. Maybe in a lovely home, in a fine community and neighborhood. It may be in a variety of ways. But thanks be to God that you and I can individually and collectively be used in the service of God and Christ in reaching men and women for the Savior. Could be that it's those in the family, friends, acquaintance, whoever, that we have a desire to see reach for the Lord. But may there be someone who is heavy on our heart, that as led of the Spirit of God, we seek to have them won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want you to notice something else. Not only was Paul the age, he says, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here was Paul, bound in Rome, but as we mentioned the other day, not a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he appeals to Philemon on the strength of that. I suffered imprisonment for the gospel and its cause. Now then, I want you to be prepared to accept this man that I have begotten in my bonds. God had rewarded Paul with souls for Christ, even as his feet were in the stocks. Had we time to turn over to the Philippian epistle in chapter 4, verse 22, we would read words like these, like their salute, those of Caesar's household. The gospel in all of its power and might, beloved, gospel by the man and from the man who had a passion for souls. This was the man that God had used in the conversion of Onesimus. This was the man that God would use still further in the cause of the gospel. And whether he was a prisoner or whether he had his liberty, still he would be used for him. Paul had to pay the price of imprisonment to see Onesimus reach for the Savior. I don't know what price God would call from you and from me, but I believe, beloved, that those who have a true, deep, Holy Spirit-born passion for the souls of men and women are those who know what it is to be prayerfully before Him, to sacrifice time and effort to be alone in His presence, crying to God for the souls of men. Yes, to even know what it is to be sleepless, to know what it is to be deprived of personal comforts and of interests, possibly even to be deprived of personal family ties, that in turn we might reach out to the lost. Soul saving may prove to be a sacrificial experience. The poet put it this way: have you looked for sheep in the desert, for those who have missed the way? Have you been in the wild waste places, where the lost and the wandering stray? Have you trodden the lonely highway, the foul and the darksome street? It may be you will see in the gloaming the print of my wounded feet. Oh, that you and I might know what it is to use any and every circumstance of life for the glory of Christ and the salvation of the lost. And so Paul has, on the basis of love, appealed to Philemon. He has appealed because he's an old man, and the battle has almost been won. Soon the implements of his warfare will be laid aside, and he will be home with the Lord. He appeals as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, Philemon, receive him that is part of myself. This man is part of me. And when I send Onesimus back to you, I'm sending part of my very being to you. I have built into this man. I have committed myself to Christ to the point where this man is part of me. I'm sending him now to you. In spiritual birth, beloved, I believe as in physical, there is a part of the one in the converted who has had the joy of seeing that individual one to Christ. One cannot help but look at those who have been won for the Savior through his or her ministry and see there part of themselves. Oh, the joy that must have possessed Paul when he put his pen to paper to put down this other reason why Philemon should accept Onesimus. And he said, this man is part of me. I have built into this man myself, his spiritual birth. I have seen brought about the warm, passionate heartbeat of the beloved apostle is felt, I believe, in the life of Onesimus. It was that same passionate longing for souls that Paul experienced when he wrote to the Roman believers in chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, I wonder, beloved, if you and I have such a passion for the lost. I think of that day when my beloved Lord stood looking over Jerusalem. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings.
But you would not. The hot, scalding tears ran down the cheeks of the infinitely holy Son of God. He had a passion for men who were lost. Often, before breakfast, I like to go for a walk. My walk of 2 or 3 miles takes me up a hill that overlooks the city of St. Catharines. And often as I've looked out over our city, and yonder to Lake Ontario and across to see the buildings of Toronto, this verse of the Savior's has come to me, and I have felt rebuke. Jerusalem, I would have gathered thee as a hen gathers the chickens under her wings, but ye would not. I confess to you, I have never looked out over my city and wept as my Savior did over Jerusalem. Oh, would to God that I would have a passion for souls, that you would have a passion for souls, that would really and truly see God operating through the Spirit in our lives and souls being reached and saved. The poet put it this way. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Oh, for a prayer power that prevails, that pours itself out to the lost. Victorious power in the Savior's name over a Pentecost. Beloved, you and I not only have the responsibility, but we have the privilege of reaching out to men and women who are still in their sins and under God doing all we can to see them reach to the Savior. But in verse 17, Paul uses another argument or reason why Philemon should receive Onesimus. He says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive as myself. Philemon, if you count me a partner in the cause of God and of Christ, receive his name. Why? Receive him as you would receive myself. We noted yesterday that it was the apostle's desire to spend time in the home of Philemon. And he knew that he would be received by this godly man of Colossae. That being the case then, Paul says, we're partners in this. I have the joy of seeing this man reached for the Savior. But you and I are partners in reaching men for the Christ of God. Therefore, Philemon, receive this man just as you would receive me. Can you imagine reading this letter? If this letter was addressed to you, or if it was addressed to me, and as you go through these reasons why you should accept this once runaway slave, there's not too many alternatives left, are there? What does he say in verse 19? Look at it. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self beside. What is he saying? I suggest, beloved, that what Paul is saying is this. Now look, Philemon, I want you to receive this man. I want you to receive this man, and I'm prepared to pay whatever he owes. But I want you to remind you that you even owe yourself to me. It is very likely that Paul had been used to point Philemon to Christ. How could Philemon possibly refuse to receive Onesimus after this? Philemon, you owe yourself to me. Therefore, receive this you and of me. Receive him as a brother. A brother in verse 15, 16, 17. A brother deeper in the spiritual relationship than even blood, having been made part of the very same wonderful family blood. As the Father hath loved me, said the Lord Jesus, so have I loved you. Beloved, that boggles my mind that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you this morning and loves me just as much as God the Father, in all of his pure holiness, loves the pure and infinitely holy Son. The Lord Jesus said, just as much as the Father loves me, that's how much I love you. Onesimus, I'm confident, was optimistic at least that Philemon would receive him. He was a brother now. A brother, blood bought. A child of God. A member of the same family. Onesimus was the purchased possession of the affectionate one, Philemon. Beloved, you and I who once were sold on the slave market of sin, we too are this morning, praise God, the purchased possession of the affectionate one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rejoice this morning in the position that is ours through faith in him. But finally, I notice for this morning that Paul uses the argument or the presentation of restitution. He says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that to mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay. I'll repay. I will make this personal commitment to you, Philemon. Whatever Onesimus did, before he left your servitude, I'll repay it. If he owes you money financially, if you have been deprived because of his absence, whatever he owes you, I will repay it. What wrong Onesimus had done, I do not know. But beloved, I know as far as this man is concerned, that there stood in the presence of God, there rested in the presence of God a debt I could never hope to pay. Impossible. But when my Savior died and paid that price, he paid it in its totality to the point this morning that every debt has been completely removed and salvation is mine. As it is yours. Thank God. As my Savior said in Luke chapter 7, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. This he had to do. We could never repay the debt of sin, but God in his sovereignty and Christ in his love, who had paid the price, forgave our every sin. When he had found one pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and he bought. We thank our God this morning that we are the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's commitment was a personal commitment to Philemon. But it reminds me of other commitments in Scripture. You remember the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan of Luke chapter 10 and verse 35. On behalf of the wounded man, he put down 2 pence on the counter. He said, whatever I owe you, when I come back this way again, I will repay. That was verbal commitment. in the paper, he said, Philemon, however he has wronged you, or whatever he owes you, you put that to my account. That was written commitment. My beloved, I go off to Calvary this morning. Not verbal commitment, not written commitment, as I view that blood-soaked form. As by faith I stand beneath the tree this morning, realize that wave after wave of God's wrath is breaking on the object of his love. I realize that there he's paying the price for me. As by faith I hear him cry, it is finished. See him bow his head and voluntarily dismiss his spirit. There, beloved, I see total commitment. For who? For you. For me. If he hath wronged you or owes you anything, lay that to my account. Said Paul, writing to the believers at Corinth, 2nd Epistle, chapter 5 and 21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This morning, totally righteous. The price forever paid. This morning, sins forgiven. Possibly, when Paul visited the home of Philemon, he did at a future date. And if ever the two discussed the situation, and I'm confident that Onesimus was back in his former position, possibly Paul would say to Philemon, well, what do I owe you? Philemon could have computed it and could have told him. But beloved, as far as your sins and mine were concerned, beyond computation, when we had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave us all. Finally, Paul says in verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh me. Refresh me in the Lord. What a refreshing experience this would be. It would cause Paul's heart to overflow if Onesimus would only be received by Philemon. You see, at the time of writing, Philemon reception of Onesimus was really unknown. It was not a sure thing that your reception and mine was assured by the one who said, him that cometh unto me, I will never, no never, no never cast out. Absolutely certain that he would receive us. Oh, the joy of that reception. The moment we yielded to acknowledge our sinnership and claim Savior. He became our Savior. We became His, and we were received. Onesimus was received for time. You and I were received for eternity. Oh, praise God this morning. As such a Savior, that such a Savior is our Savior, and in him we can rejoice this morning, knowing that we have been received. Now the debt of sin we owed has been eternally forgiven. Thank God. Loving Father, we thank thee this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee that ever he frankly and freely forgave us our every sin, and that this morning we know and enjoy fellowship with thy Son. Please receive our grateful thanks. Bless us now, each one throughout the day, and all who are on these grounds, we pray thy blessing upon them. Should there be any who do not know the Savior, may this be the day when they accept Him, we pray. May every saint that might have special needs, interests, and concerns find them lovingly met today in the One who received them not only for time, but for all of eternity.